the truth cannot be expressed in language. It can partially be pointed to, but it cannot be fully conceptualized in language, because language is embedded in the logic of duality, and the truth is in an entirely different logic of non-duality. And so for the mind that is enmeshed in language, the real does not exist. It cannot be grasped because the instrument of language is not appropriate to grasp the real. It slips through the subject-object duality in which language tries to do its grasping. The very idea of grasping involves duality. And so the Zen masters say things like, open the hand of thought, and just be, don't think, don't try. But none of these attempts can do anything except affirm the illusion that there is someone separate from the real who must grasp it. But the real is always real, and there is only the real. And yet, the world is unreal, even though there is no unreal, because how can there be that which, by definition, does not exist? And yet, by definition, what is real cannot exist for the unreal consciousness that cannot see into its own depths, that is trapped in thoughts and images that create the very barrier that separates the mind from the real in the very attempt to grasp it and to picture it and to attempt to utilize it, to operationalize it, to master it, rather than to surrender into that which is. And so, to the consciousness that has fallen under the domain of concepts and images, it cannot any longer realize that all that the world is a set of constructs made of logical conceptions and imaginations, projections, and sensations that are effects of a real that cannot be known except through the lens of a mind that can only have tunnel vision regarding the real, because it cannot see the whole. It can only see one part at a time. It can see linearly and successively. It abides in time, in a temporal unfolding, rather than a complete realization that can only happen in the timeless. And so the great mystics have said probably the most truthful thing that could be expressed in language, that the entire cosmos is a single word in the mind of God, a single thought, a single infinite concept that Bohm refers to as the implicate order, but this is what is meant by the logos in the Gospel of John. The Word in the beginning is the Word, because before the Word is spoken, there is no time, therefore no beginning. But that Word is simply waves upon the waters of infinity, the quantum unified field that suddenly has quantum wave functions that collapse into certain forms. And suddenly there is consciousness identified with form, and there is a seeming cosmos. But nothing ever really happened except a timeless conceptualization that includes the beginning, the middle, and the end, and the entirety of time contained within eternity as a single moment. This is the meaning of that word Om, the A-U-M, the beginning, middle, the end, the consciousness, the feeling, and the sensation, and then the death, the silence, the return to the infinite. But one who is captured within the flow of those conceptualizations and whose consciousness has become knotted in the heart to a body form and believes it was born and believes it went through traumas and believes it has certain deficiencies and certain needs and certain desires and certain demands upon reality, all of those constructs simply create the karmic suffering that the consciousness, so long as it is knotted in the heart to the unreal, can never overcome. And so it is not a doing but a letting go of the concept of oneself as a doer, as separate from the self that is the speaker of the Word of God, not the spoken. And so the real can only be regained by the return to the silence of the speaker prior to the speech, prior to the leaving the implicate for the explicate. But the ego mind, once it has come into its illusion of existence, wants to hold on to that existence and wants to eternalize its temporality. It wants to create concepts that will live forever and art that will live forever. This was Jung's problem. He wanted to picture God. He wanted to create a psychology that captures God, but he didn't want to surrender to God. He wanted to affirm the ego that is capable of mastery of God, mastery of the images of the divine, of the knowledge of the real. But the real can never be known. It can never be mastered. It can never be captured. And whatever construct one creates, Jungian psychology, for example, as a construct, had a shelf life of about 20, 30 years. It's gone. If you look around now into that world, they are post-Jungians. They have refuted nearly every idea of Jung's. They've psychoanalyzed Jung and discovered why his ideas were wrong. And those constructs will be overturned by others. That's all the world is a meat grinder of concepts overturned, destroyed, one after another, until the mind is totally exhausted and its final conceptions are only that of mega death and destruction. That final moment of the syllable Om and the return to the silence, to the portal from death into eternity. And eternity is infinite creativity, infinite potency, potentiality, power, freedom. But as soon as one comes into time and space, one gives up one's freedom. One is now subject to the laws of nature and the laws of logic and the laws of aesthetic form and the laws of mechanics, etc., etc., including the law of entropy, in which one cannot sustain one's consciousness. It has a shelf life. It gradually degrades and turns into dementia. It is lost. Nothing can be held on to within the temporal. And yet the real is never lost. The real is always present, and it's all that is. But once you have identified with body and with the world of images and constructs, one's attachment is only to that. And one can't even imagine, let alone have a true yearning and love for God. Only for the images and the constructs and the dogmas and the beliefs and the illusion of empowerment and of luminosity and of angelic ascension and of all of those ideas that are within the imaginary frame of reference of the ego, in which it thinks it will be aggrandized through its spirituality rather than simply destroyed and dissolved as a delusion. Which is why the ego never wants to touch into real spirituality. It prefers to read books and have crystals and look at mandalas and see movies and do all of those things within the phenomenal plane to keep it entertained. And it wants to have its attachments in this plane and believe that it's experiencing reality and love and joy and truth, when all of it is illusory and all of it is all within a background of suffering and disappointment and dissatisfaction and emptiness and lostness and meaninglessness. And the ego ultimately falls into its lower death drive. And eventually that collective death drive brings about the result of mega death. But that too is not a tragedy. It's simply the end of the word of God, who will then speak a new word. God is not short of words. Eternal eloquence is present in the silence, as Sri Ramana is always saying to us. But that eloquence is only understandable when one has overstood the ego and the illusion and is standing at the vibrational frequency of God, so that the language of the real can be grokked. It cannot be grokked so long as you're identified with the unreal, so long as you think you're a bodily being in a world of time and space. There is no way that that presence of the Absolute can penetrate into the illusory frame of reference that is created by the mental chatter that is constantly befuddling the mind and obfuscating the real and keeping out the very divine light and truth that would liberate one from the illusion, because the ego does not want liberation. Because it does not want its own death. And so you cannot go through ego death as an ego until you have at least reached the soul level, that intersection of the real and the unreal, in which the concept of infinity and eternity can be recognized and penetrated into its absolute presence beyond the concept itself, in which the concept can fall away and the real can finally emerge. And it's the emergence of the real in the mind that overcomes the will to power of the ego, of its desire for power because it's powerless, but there is a desire for that will. And when that will has been overcome by the will of God, which is power, the will that is power, not seeking power, that power brings about the death of the ego. Not the ego itself, and not even the soul, but only the soul's surrender to the will of God that brings the only real power into being and dissolves the illusion of the manifestation, even while the dream field continues. Because time and space and the unreal of the finite is contained within the infinite. It is not different from it. Samsara is nirvana. The will of God is not somewhere else coming to you, even though it will seem like that, so long as there is any differential in the vibrational frequency. But it's that tsunami of overwhelming presence that eliminates the duality of differential vibrational frequencies and brings about the one unified field of consciousness once more as present. And when that happens, the illusion is concluded. It's finished. It's gone. It's gate, gate, paragate, parasangate, bodhi, swaha. This is realized. It's enacted. It's not chanted as a mantra. It is, in fact, the process, as well as that can be expressed in language that creates it as a linear successive process. It's not a process. It's instantaneous because it cannot happen in time. But there will be a moment in time when the infinite will overcome the illusion of the finite. And all constructs, all delusions, all imaginations, all beliefs will be dissolved in the luminous force field of the real. And it's then that the truth sets consciousness free. But the seeker of truth cannot free itself from its own bondage, which is its identification as a seeker. The seeker and the truth are not different. But because the seeker is ignorant of the truth, and the truth can only unfold in time to one who is trapped at that false level of being, then there must be a surrender of the mind that creates the illusion of time so that the presence of eternity overwhelms the temporal illusion and brings about liberation. And this alone is Sat Yoga. And it's only the will of God that brings it about, not the will of some individual person who thinks they're a yogi. The yoga is the work of God, and it's contained within the word of God, not the human word. And so it's only by becoming a deep listening to that word, in which one is subsumed again into the word, into the Logos, into the Tao, into the absolute reality that is being expressed, that one becomes once again impressed into the reality of God that overwhelms and contains this moment in infinity. And the momentary bubble of a world that seeks to perceive the infinite event horizon and that which is beyond it, that bubble pops. And the spirit, the absolute, the real, is all that ever was. And all that is ever prophesied in any religious path or by any spiritual genius who has managed to grok the real is only, it will come. The truth will come, God will come, the real will arrive. The very word Jehovah means I shall be there. It's not I am that I am, it's I shall be there because I am there. It is the promise that the future teleologically is coming to you and will arrive in the form of eternal presence. But that eternal presence is also the absolute absence of existence, of all that you think you are. It is total loss and the total gain of the priceless realization of infinite eternal life and limitless power. But at the expense of the limited. And all that a yogi can do is exchange the desire for the limited for the yearning for the unlimited and open one's heart to the love of that which will arrive the moment the heart is open and the knot is let go. May you have the courage, the clarity, the wisdom, the will, and the love that brings redemption, liberation, return to the real before that final conflagration, that holocaust to end all holocausts, which will burn away the illusion for those who have resisted God. May you know the peace that comes only through the surrender of the mind to God. And the deeper peace that comes through surrender of the heart to God. And the final peace that comes from the surrender of one's life to God. And to know the priceless gift that is given by the Supreme Self in exchange for those offerings. And may you know the beauty and the bliss of what is received when you have given all that you have and that you think you are to the one supreme real that transcends being. And realize the infinite, the eternal, the absolute as yourself. Namaste.